Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Motherfuckers, it's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy Louis J. Gomez.
Where's my rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy? I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny, he's a psycho, he's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Our new life begins!
Andre Arlovsky's walkout music. I don't know if you know that. I just told Shannon to play Hatebreed, right? Is this Onward to Victory? Or no, it's not.
Destroy Everything.
Oh, Destroy Everything. It also just sounds like Onward to Victory. I really love Hatebreed. I fall in love with them. I was always like a somewhat of a fan growing up. But I started listening to them more since I've gotten to know Jamie.
Yeah.
They're still fucking bad. If you want to beat up any sort of minority.
Yeah. I was going to say.
This is the fucking theme music.
I remember seeing them at like at Ozfest and stuff and just being like, oh, I can't go near those mosh pits. Like every single person that was in there was like head tattoos, shaved head, like just
Dante.
Dante, white Dante, essentially. It's just basically.
Like whole white Dante.
Yeah.
Dante, have you ever done a mosh pit? Because you're a big motherfucker. You've done it. Because a lot of black people, they're like, they see that shit and they're like, yo, white people are out of their fucking minds. I would never do that.
Yeah, but black people go to a rap concert and do a real mosh pit because my crew is there and your crew is there and you looked at me fucked up.
Yeah, and you guys would just fight each other.
Yeah. So.
But that's the thing. I think that when black people see, most people, when they see punching and kicking, they're associating it with like extreme violence. And, you know, you see white kids who would normally be like, you know, autistic, nervous kids.
Yeah,
and
they get a chance to open up.
They put a fucking bandana around their face. They take their shirt off. They start pounding their chest.
Yeah.
And they lose their shit. And then they go back home and they're nervous. Yeah. They don't talk to chicks at the mall.
You know,
they would never get into a fight. Like
it's
would,
funny that what you say about that. It's like when you do like black comedy, like what we would call chitlin circuit comedy, the jokes have to be direct. Like there's no sarcasm because in the hood, sarcasm means you're saying, sarcasm in general means you're saying something that you don't really mean.
Hmm.
So in the hood, if you go, yo, what the fuck did you say? You know what I mean? Like
right.
that. So the jokes are kind of the same way where it has to, it can't be a hidden meaning.
Right.
It needs to be, here's what happened. This was funny. It has to be direct.
Direct.
Mm. Because not being direct goes against the sensibility. Yo, what the fuck do you mean by that?
Right. So
you know,
Steve, if some white
Lewis
throws
Lewis
a punch at your
guy.
Head, you're going like, this guy wants to fight
yeah,
me.
Yeah, exactly.
And now me and my crew are going to kill him.
Right, right.
So whereas Mike Feeney's going, I just enjoy this song.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. No, I remember going to a Poison the Well show and like leaving with my hands being like.
I think I remember going to a Poison show. You mosh on Skinny Bop.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, Poison the Well, bro. Nerdy? You never fucked with that?
I know Poison the Well. I don't
but,
know music.
But my
well.
Hands were like swollen, like fucking.
From
like,
punching.
Just from, yeah, from. Violently swinging and hitting, like, I remember, like, the tops of my hands were, like, hitting people behind, you know what I mean? Because you're, like, that's the fun thing about a mosh pit is that you can 360 protect you're just, I mean, you're, like, sensibly flailing, but with purpose and anger.
And, but in hardcore shows, they are much more, pull up a Hatebreed mosh pit as we welcome Zach D'Amico to the show.
I apologize for
saying that. It's okay, Zach. It happens a lot, you know, a lot this week particularly, but it's okay.
It's the first time I've ever seen you not here and Lewis on time.
I've been on time a lot lately. Because I bring my son to school on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8:20 in the morning.
Here we go. Now you want to be a father.
Yeah.
So that's, but I'm
so did you finally meet a cab driver that could fight, or?
Oh, no. I'm back to sparring, baby boy. It's happening. Jimmy Martinez needs to watch the fuck out. It's all happening. Let's get some plugs out of the way. And then I want to pull up a Hatebreed mosh pit as well. Really quick, what do you got to plug, Mike Feeney?
Ah, man, you always do this.
What do you got to plug, Dante? It's okay. Yeah. You're prepared for your career.
I'm getting ready to rebrand my podcast, the Base Phillips Show, to Man School 202.
Man School 202.
I'll be in Miami for Valentine's Day, and I'll be at the Sioux Falls Festival the following week. 21st.
When are you rebranding the show?
Probably like right after Valentine's Day.
That's
perfect.
Right.
Yeah, it's gonna be Man School 202.
Man School 202.
Yeah, and we'll have our Patreon up and stuff like that, and we're working on all that stuff.
So. That's cool, man. That's very cool. Love your show. Love what you do.
Thanks, brother.
In fact, today on today's show, if you guys are having trouble with your bitch, make sure you guys give us a call. 573-GASLINE is the phone number. If you're having trouble, I want a very specific problem with your bitch, okay? And
this then is the same thing he does when Justin Silver's on.
It's true. It is. Dante speaks bitch. That's the truth, okay?
Whisperer.
Yeah, he's a bitch whisperer. So we want you guys, if you're having trouble with Dante, myself.
I do chick whispering, too. I do dude whispering, too. I go both ends of the spectrum.
It's called dick whispering. Dante.
I won't do it. I can't do it. See how I faked you into saying it?
Yeah.
It Phoebe, didn't take much, buddy.
What do you got to plug, my friend?
Irish Goodbye Podcast, also on Gas Digital Network here. MikeFeeneyComedy.com. I have a bunch of dates coming up. Headlining some breweries in March. Comics Mohegan Sun. Comics Wisecrackers. All available tickets at MikeFeeneyComedy.com.
There's a handsome dude on that podcast. You know.
What was the website? I'm sorry.
MikeFeeneyComedy.com.
Yeah, he is a handsome guy.
Yeah. He bring the maybe out of a straight guy.
Yeah. You know but here's the thing. Like, it's too cookie cutter, clean, white. Like,
I don't think so. I think I'm pretty unique. I think I got a sharp tongue that goes along with my likable sensibilities. You know?
That's what she said.
I think that you're too much. Like, if my daughter were to bring you home,
you would be okay with it.
You'd think you're okay with it, but then you wouldn't know what's going on.
But then I'd go, no, there's something going the fuck
exactly.
on here. He's a little bit of a psycho.
Got a little dirt bag. Edge, baby. Yeah, yeah.
Well, the first conversation you'd have to have is, James, when did you transition?
Zach Amico, what do you got to plug?
Twitter and Instagram, Zach is not funny. Check out my other show here on the network, Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show, every Friday at midnight. Comics sitting down, bullshitting, watching horror movies. Tonight we are watching Dolls from 1987 with Sally Ann Hall and Trey Gallion.
Nice.
When am I doing an episode, Zach, you piece of shit?
I don't know, pick a Sunday.
Sundays are tough.
There we go.
It's a tough day for me. Is there a horror movie that would be good for my son to watch? Because I'm with my son every Sunday all day.
A horror movie would be good for my son.
What if we show James like Gremlins?
Toy Story 3.
He's too young, right?
Gremlins? I think he could watch Gremlins.
Yeah, the Gremlin wears lipstick. It's fine.
I think Gremlins not that. What is Gremlins rated? It's not rated R.
No. PG?
PG-13 at least. There's no way. They kill. Do the Gremlins kill? I don't know if they kill, though.
Not really, but kind of. Remember the dude?
You assume there's a body count, but you don't actually see any
Gremlins
of the
Gremlins and Poltergeist are the roof. Two movies.
PG.
They made PG-13 after Gremlins came out.
Wow.
Before it used to just be PG.
R?
And then R.
I think he could handle Gremlins. That's not so bad.
Do your plugs, and I actually want to ask Dante a question about Gremlins. Can I just write something about it?
Okay. Guys, check out my other podcasts, both Believe You Me podcast and Legion of Skanks here on GasDigitalNetwork.com. Some live dates coming up March 18th through 21st. I'll be at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club down the shore, New Jersey. Come the fuck out. You know what's going on, baby boys. Also, got a gig coming up in Connecticut in, I think, April. Look out for that. I'll be posting some more information about that. Maybe Mike Fiend will be on that one. I think I'm going to need a ride, Fiend Dog. We should go do this gig. It'll be nice. I'll pay you more than they're paying you. They're not paying much.
I don't even know who or what you're talking about.
It's a whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah, guys, make sure you leave us a 5-star ranking and a positive review. One reviewer every month. We give away a free piece of merch. Pull up some of the Realist Podcast merch. I'm going to tell you right now, Realist Podcast merch is on fire lately. A lot of people have been buying stuff. You go to merchpump.com/realasspodcast, I believe, is the website, and check out all of the Real Ass Podcast merch. We have our Ren and Simpy mug. We have the t-shirts, the Go Mites shirt, the Real Ass Podcast 3D shirt, which I just saw one of those at a show last weekend. That's a fucking fire shirt right there. Go grab them right now at merchpump.com. All these amazing things, plus all the other shows on the network.
Gas like Irish Goodbye has on merchpump.
Yes, indeed. GasDigitalNetwork.com is the website. Use the promo code RAP for a 14-day free trial. Get a 14-day free trial. Have every episode that we've ever done of the Real Ass Podcast, Legion of Skanks, Believe You Me, and more at your fingertips for just $7 a month when you use the promo code RAP. You also get a 14-day free trial. Try it out for free. Make sure you love the premium service, you know?
Do you think if you had 14 days to listen, is there physically enough time to listen to every Real Ass Podcast and every Legion of Skanks?
350 plus 175 because it's an hour and a half per show, so that's 525. Is that what it is? 525? 525 hours is how long?
Hold on.
How many days is that?
525 divided by 24.
How many days is that?
Keep talking to calculators.
Divided by 24.
Hell yeah.
21 days.
You need 21 days to listen to all of it. So
you can get close.
Close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you take 30 episodes off of each, right? Because the 15 are free?
That's true.
Yeah. You can get those anytime.
All right. Well, all right. We have a lot to talk about today.
Can I actually ask Dante that question?
Yes, you can ask Dante your
question. So I was reading a Complex article of 50 most racist movies of all time, and Gremlins was on it.
Really?
I would love to see that article.
And I assumed...
It was number one.
It was Birth of a Nation. Hmm. I assumed it was because of the old Asian men.
Maybe.
But they said it was because the Gremlins, when they turn bad...
They're supposed to be black people.
I never made this connection.
Me neither.
They sing, they dance, they break dance, they eat fried chicken.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I've never put that together.
Wow.
And I feel like it was like my whiteness blinded me to the fact that...
I never noticed that either, though. But, but it's also kind of like...
Is it a stretch? Is it like...
I don't think it's a stretch, dude.
Do Gremlins act like black
people? You know the...
When I watch it, that would never occur to me.
It wouldn't have occurred to me either, but when you say it... But that's also a thing when it gets to the point where you're like, look.
You're stretching. No, here's what happens. It's correlation, right? So you can find it anywhere. If I really wanted to, I can find any villain in any Disney movie and be like, look, this is a black guy. Let me tell you why. And break it down. And there's a way to find those similarities or whatever it is, those generic things.
But I also think that there's a purposeful thing to kind of create that propaganda over and over and over again. I think not
by white people.
No, I mean because like Mike Feeney didn't do it. You know what I mean? Like it's what you're talking about. It's to me. There's always a class warfare, and I think the class warfare is blocked by the fact that they make it a racial thing.
Blacked,
but it's really. It's really just economics.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go too deep because...
No, like, I know. No, it's a real podcast. We go deep on the show.
You have a situation when... when people talk about Chinese elections, right? Chinese elections...
Well, I'm about to play a scene from Gremlins and he's going off. I mean,
I thought we
were going to say someone on track. He was like, I don't want to go too deep. And he's like, but look, Chinese elections. What? How the fuck did we get from... I want to pull up the list, but before we do that, pull up a scene from Gremlins. Is there a movie theater scene? Because I want to see how the
That's
Gremlins...
number two. Yeah, yeah. And Hulk Hogan is the one who interrupts when he yells.
Let me see. Pull the movie theater scene.
Well, that is definitely racist.
Pull up the movie theater scene from Gremlins because I want to see how they act in the movies because maybe there's something to this. And that's not a stereotype. That's just a fact. When black people go to the movies, they love to fucking demonstrate how they feel about the movie or whatever's going on in their life at that moment.
Yeah, but they would have never let us in the film room with the equipment.
Well, they're working in the film room a lot of the time.
No, not they were.
Yeah, dude, I worked at an AMC in Jersey City. That's what it looked like.
The Flasher. Oh wow, I didn't even know they were watching Snow White.
Yeah.
They're being pretty quiet.
Yeah.
Give me a Newport.
That's because it's almost like a Tyler Perry movie. So,
yeah.
I don't think I've seen this movie.
You've never seen Gremlins?
I mean, maybe when I was like a kid, but I don't think I've ever seen it like fully through.
Yeah. Was this?
They're pretty behaved.
This is actually way more low key than most black movie theaters.
Yeah. Well,
if you go opening night on Friday night in Harlem to the AMC and see
Halloween,
movie, it's way more crazy than that.
The list I think was like bordering on parody though. Because there were certain ones, like Billy Madison
Keep on going. What else is there?
Billy Madison was racist?
For The Maid.
All right, just keep on going. The Love Guru.
I mean, that's
the Dante Nero story, as I call it.
Yeah.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, that was really Asian.
You Only Live Twice. I don't even know what these movies
are. That was James Bond, right?
Yeah.
James Bond series 007 lives at the fantasy of every Spanish national basketball team member from Beijing and Malinka. He gets to marry an Asian girl in drag. And by drag, we, of course, mean having his eyes taped back so he can pass as an Asian.
Oh, yeah, he does do that.
Oh, yeah, all right, sure.
He's undercover.
Oh, Chasing
Poppy.
Yeah, yeah.
Chasing Poppy is a movie. I've never seen this movie, but this movie comes up in my fucking life a lot. Before you go up, listen. One time, I remember I was selling comedy club tickets outside of Madison Square Garden, and I met this, like, Pakistani chick who was to this day, one of the hottest girls that I've ever seen in my entire life. Mm-hmm. She was, it was crazy hot, this girl was.
Right.
And I used to do a trick, nice solid skin, that Jew trick. I would buy, after like a hockey or basketball game started, the scalpers are trying to fucking get the fuck out of there. And they got a bunch of leftover tickets and they don't care. Like, Knicks games don't sell out. It's not a big deal, right? So this game starts. You go, hey, dude, if you got a couple extra tickets, I'll give you $20 if you give me a couple tickets. I don't even give a shit. I'm just not doing anything. I got to kill some time.
Mm-hmm.
They're always going to go, sure, take the tickets. Then what I would do is I would just go up to chicks at Penn Station and be like, yo, I have a friend. I was like, yeah, this is weird, but I have a friend who bailed on this hockey guy. I have an extra ticket. Do you want to go? And I was selling comedy club tickets, so it was easy to approach chicks anyway.
Right,
I would just transfer the conversation there. But it was a little scam that I would have to fucking pick up hot chicks and take them to a hockey
game. Did they ever go?
Yeah, a couple times, yeah. This chick in particular went. Okay, this chick was fucking so hot. Afterwards, she invited me back to her apartment, and she put on Chasing Poppy. And I remember she was like, let me slip into something more comfortable. It was like out of a movie. And she just put on little tiny, tiny like booty shorts with like no panties underneath and a little tiny crop top. This fucking, she was an angel from heaven.
Mm.
She's Pakistani, so not our heaven, but it was, she was from a heaven. Okay. And
wait, can I ask a question before you get to, is this the remote control? Bend over?
Yeah. Yeah, she bends over. She's like, she goes to turn on the movie and crawls in front of the TV with her ass presented to me.
Mm-hmm.
And this story's going nowhere because I did nothing.
Mm.
I did nothing.
Why?
Because I was too afraid of this hot chick. It was like in my head, in the moment, I was too afraid. I always use this story in this moment as a moment where I remember, like, anytime a chick's fucking throwing it at you, you're not wrong. Don't ignore the instinct that this woman wants to fuck you. It's a little thing. She touches you on the arm, she probably wants to fuck you. I gotta be honest with you.
Let me give you there's a thing, what I call that is the proximity rule, right? So you know, you're in a party.
You learned it from a girl named Proximity.
if you're at a party, yeah, that's why. She was like, hey, I'm Proximity, you wanna fuck? So one of the things that we don't consider as men is that every time a woman goes out with a dude, she has to consider whether this dude is going to rape or kill her.
Yeah.
That is in the game. That's the part of the consideration. So when you're in a party and you look up and, you know, you catch eyes with a chick and then you at the bar and then she's near you and then you look up again and, you know, you just keep kind of catching each other's eye, that's not by accident. It's never by accident because
you're looking, think introspectively, you're looking at her because you are into what you are seeing.
Right.
If you guys keep on catching eyes, okay, 3-4 times, there's something there. You don't ignore that. Now, that's not a guarantee.
It doesn't mean she's going to fuck you, but it means the door's open.
Exactly. And that door being open is a really, really important thing. Women have different standards. They won't fuck a guy on the first night they meet him sometimes, right?
And they might.
They might.
It depends. It depends on you. But
you have to learn how to read all of those little cues.
You gotta read the room.
You have to, exactly. This is what, you know, as becoming a man, 36 years old, starting to understand what those signs are.
That's a little bit extreme.
What?
Becoming a man.
I'm starting to understand.
I'm starting to understand.
That's accurate.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've seen it time and time again. You're not wrong. This is what I'll tell any guy. If you feel as if a girl is trying to fuck or is giving you that vibe or likes you, whatever term you want to use, you're not wrong. Don't ignore that instinct.
But
you might be wrong. One out of 10 times you might be wrong, but who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Play the numbers. If you were sitting at a card table and we're going to say, hey, 9 out of 10 times you're going to win the hand, you'd keep playing, wouldn't you?
Yeah. What if one of those 10 times is a Me Too case?
Here's the thing. The distinct thing I think about the whole Me Too. Everybody knows that I'm pretty sexually aggressive. I mean, Zach knows.
Don't I know it? Don't ask me how I know.
But the real point is, the reason why I don't have any Me Too is because I don't want to fuck somebody who doesn't want to fuck me.
Yeah.
If she doesn't know how dope I am, then you're just not smart enough for me to fuck anyway.
Yeah.
But you got to be confident. And here's why what you're saying is so true. When a guy's a creep, when a guy is like creepy and cheesy and he's in a position where she's like, this makes me uncomfortable, you will never meet eyes with her. You won't even see her in the party again.
Yeah, you have to read the signs. You can't just jump in head first. I think when you're trying to, and I'm not single anymore, but when you are single, you have to learn how to read those cues.
You gotta read them.
And And that's that.
But what about if Lewis is staring at a woman from across the party and they keep making eye contact because they feel him staring?
Yeah, but you see that face you made? If you can't read
Lewis
that.
Lewis is like, oh, she's timid.
I don't know if you've noticed, but you've caught my one good eye.
Fiend Dog, you know I'm a fucking killer of pussy. Stop acting like
it
I'm
is,
not.
I got to be honest. It is. It is consistently baffling to me how many women find you irresistible.
It's thing. Look, I know. I look like a fat Ninja Turtle. I know. I got bags under my eyes. I know I got a fucking bald head. I get it, okay? I'm sorry that I could probably fuck your chick. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's not my fault. What am I supposed to do? I'm a fucking stud. I throw it out. I throw out that heat. Shannon plays these games all the time where she's like, oh, I don't want it. But the more she says it, the more I realize the more she's fucking just holding herself back.
Okay, that took a weird turn.
It's a fact. 573 Gaslight. If you have trouble with your bitch, now is the time to call. We're taking your calls all throughout today's show. 573 Gaslight is the phone number. We will give you advice, real advice right now, on what to do with your bitch if you have a specific situation going on with her at home. It's important. You gotta. I
do this $250 an hour on my website.
This is a free fucking thing. I mean, it's true. You're getting
$250 an hour.
Yeah.
Wow.
As he should.
It's great.
Yeah.
Good. Good for you. So look, we got a lot to discuss on.
Right, Shannon.
Show. Shannon, what's going on? Why are they telling me you're trying to date a prisoner now? What's going on with that?
Yeah, this has been a thing that's been going on for a while. It started on the High Society radio show where they had me on to do like a prison dating game. Mm. And then, so they were going to send letters
Hold
to two
on.
Of the guys.
Pull up the fucking Shannon cam. This isn't High Society radio. Thank you.
My hair's so crazy.
Go ahead.
Okay. So we found a couple prisoners on the site and they were going to write to them for me, but there was one that stayed in my mind afterwards.
Hell yeah.
And I decided maybe I just want to write a letter to him on my own.
Did you write the letter?
I have the letter is written, yet I've been getting a lot of shit from friends here.
Has anybody read the letter on a show?
Yeah, they read on the bonfire.
You know, Shannon, you're off the show. I'm not doing this anymore because I'm not letting everybody else steal the fucking awesome bits with you.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then I got a bone to pick with you guys because Alex, my producer on Irish
coffee.
Goodbye.
What?
Yeah, Alex on Irish Goodbye. Alex is telling me that she's showing pictures of her boyfriend's amazing huge dick on Legion of Skanks. And then she comes on our show. She's like a timid squirrel, barely speaking. And she's got the goods for Legion of Skanks.
So I'm sorry. You have to fucking learn how to get the best out of these people. It's your job as a host.
I didn't think.
More
she had
handsome,
dick pics that
it probably
she was.
Work out.
I mean, yeah, come on.
Yeah, Alex showed her boyfriend's, but didn't even just show her boyfriend's dick. She showed her hand on his dick. And I tried to explain to her, I was like, Alex, I'm not looking at a dick. I'm watching you jerk off a man. This is the image that I'm seeing right now. It just didn't connect in her head. I was like, no. This is a way hotter thing.
Right.
Yeah. It's like it's substantially like I can masturbate to this.
Right.
Isn't that weird? I can masturbate to her hand around his dick. I can't masturbate to just his dick.
That's not a weird.
That's weird.
It's not
it's
weird.
Just some fingers, and they're not pretty fingers.
Because the
she's
point
got hair
is
on
that
knuckles.
She
got she's got three knuckles per finger.
You're
it's like watching a witch climb a tree.
It's a witch as a designated hitter.
That bitch isn't. She's got an extra elbow on each one of her fingers.
She probably wants to still fuck you, and so she wouldn't show the dick because she didn't want to mess up her.
I just think she's saving the goods for the
bigger, more. Yeah.
The shows that prop the network up. Yeah, whatever.
All right, so this is a big deal right now, guys. For the first time in years, Coca-Cola is introducing a new Coke flavor, orange vanilla.
Ugh. Remember when they did Coke vanilla?
Ugh.
What?
They did Coke vanilla.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
They had a
what
vanilla
do you mean?
Coke.
What do I
vanilla
mean?
Coke.
I can't explain it any. Yeah.
What do you mean, remember?
why
exists?
Are you asking what I mean?
It's remember, like, it
what is this vanilla thing?
It still doesn't,
talking
exist.
About.
It doesn't exist anymore. No. Stop making that.
Really? Vanilla Coke? I thought it still exists.
When's
never
the
got
last
it?
Time you've seen a vanilla Coke?
Harrington. Does it exist?
No, but answer me this. When's the last time you've seen a vanilla
the
Coke?
The bodegas in his neighborhood are just getting it.
Yeah.
They have it at the bodega?
No, they have it, but it's a drug bodega, so it's just one just box of
one
Cheerios.
Dump, yeah, one dusty
with,
bottle.
With actual, one dusty. With Bruce Jenner on it.
Look, I can buy a case of vanilla Coke right now.
You could buy a case of fucking Zima right now online, but that doesn't mean you should.
Let's say, can I? Nope.
I guarantee you can find
I can some. Buy a used case of Zima from 1993 for $150. So what do you got?
So there you go. So I was right.
Technically, he's right. You can buy a case of Zima.
Actually, it's two 1993 vintage Zima malt beverage bottles.
Oof. for $150. Shit, I should have saved that shit.
Yeah.
A lot of Zima in your life.
I know.
Yeah.
I was a heavy Zima drinker.
Yeah.
I went to rehab.
So Shannon, I'm not gonna we're not gonna talk about it. I'm done. We gotta figure out new angles on you, because here's the thing, you don't want me to call you fat, but that's the only thing that nobody else is doing.
Right.
Okay. So
original.
You know, everybody else
we gotta stay innovative.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stay ahead of the curve here, and you know, I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of
it
every time I fucking turn around. Shannon, who, by the way, I was the first person to incorporate Shannon on the show at all. Nobody gave a fuck about Shannon.
That's not true. I did.
What?
Well, I was always pushing Shannon to get into the podcast thing way back when.
I'm doing Shannon's podcast.
Next week.
I'm about to, I might be looking for a new producer on the
no.
show.
My producer Shannon, has a podcast too. That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? You let them, you're putting the thoughts in their head. You know what I mean?
It's just too much.
Like, we could do this.
Everyone's fucking lazy. So it's like all the shit that I want to do lazily, they've all done already. So I have to go above and beyond every time because these fucking lazy pieces of shit.
Yeah, you don't like going
the bonfire. You gave away that content to the bonfire, Shannon.
You brought in a thing you could read. That's the easiest. You might as well just brought more YouTube videos for them to watch.
They brought me on for this purpose to talk about this.
I don't care, Shannon. I don't care.
Possessive boyfriend.
The bonfire. Mm. Both of those men are rapists. Mm. We won't even say their names on the show. I'm actually going to go to war with the bonfire now.
There you go.
They come in and they fucking take my producer's best thing.
Yeah.
So now I'm forced.
The only thing you have her here
I'm
for.
I'm forced and to call her fat. They are raping me into calling her fat. I don't want to do it, but guess what, fatty? You go on these shows.
Oh, I'm not
this
team,
is the fucking rap.
I'm not. That's I still feel bad for Shannon always.
I know I do too. She's obese.
No,
she's dying before our eyes, and we need to fix it.
That was the most dead air ever. On, yeah,
it's not
on
dead air. If you listen closely, you could hear Shannon breathing.
Tension.
Ugh, mustard.
I'm sick of it, Shannon.
You did wait a long time. This has been going on for a long time.
Shannon, wow. I'll do whatever the fuck I want, whenever the fuck I want, okay? Who the fuck is Big J and Dan Soder? I'll say their names.
Yeah, it wasn't Evergreen. You
know I wasn't, I mean? Gonna, I wasn't even going to put the shine on them, but fine, I'll say their fucking
good
names.
Good day, sir.
Dan Soder, Big J, I'm fucking coming for you, bitches. Are you crazy? You take my fat producer's best story? You fucking cunts. Who's their producers? Jacob, Black
Lou,
White Lou,
Christine.
I'm gonna take their best stories. How about that? Book fucking DJ Lou on the show next week. Book him on the fucking show. I swear to God. No, actually, I want DJ Lou. I really mean.
And Christine?
No, she's not. Never getting on the show. You're your fucking mind. We don't want her on that show. I want DJ Lou, I want Black Lou, and I want Jacob in these fucking seats next week, and they're giving me their best stories.
Okay.
I'm dead ass, Shannon, and if you don't get them, you're fired. If we don't have them on the show next week, one show, all three of them together, I mean this, Shannon's fired from the Real Ass Podcast, and it's to help her.
This is an expiring clock situation.
Wait, how is this to help me?
It's like a shutdown.
Yeah.
You're going to learn to
how
not...
How will this help me?
Shannon's shutdown. You got to get a clock.
Yeah, Shannon's shutdown.
The Shannon's
2019.
Shutdown. I like it. Because I'll tell you why it's helping you. Because you will know not to hurt the people who love you most in the future. Moving forward, before you ever hurt somebody that loves you the way that we love you on this show, you will think twice. You'll go, you know what? What happened there last time I hurt
you're
somebody that loves me?
You're a classic abusive boyfriend. You're the guy who hits a girl and goes, I don't ever want to hit you like I just did. So just know going forward that...
This is the lesson.
Yeah, yeah.
No, because if he was that, Shannon would respect him.
Yeah. She would find him amazingly attractive.
Shannon, do me a favor. List for me right now the things that are better about this show than the bonfire. I need five. Five things.
You're the host.
Okay, one, I'm the host. That is true. That is true. Go ahead. Number two.
At least she knows where she butters her bread.
This one pays you.
Yeah, I get paid to do this show.
That doesn't make me better than them. You should be doing it for free.
Oh, how they're
now
better?
That's actually an idea.
Reword it. Lewis is more generous than them.
Yes, you are. You're very generous.
That's not a specific money every thing. Week to Shannon for
that is not
this.
A specific thing that's better about this show. I want to hear things that are better. We do better impressions.
Of course, yes.
Right, better voices.
Yes. Wow. Mm-hmm,
better impressions. Give me an impression. Give me one. Go.
Me?
You want to do all the Dan Soder ones? Ooh yeah, brother, dig it. I'm
don't
macho
pick one
man.
Everyone
Randy
can do.
Savage.
Yeah.
Snap into a Slim Jim. I'm Dan Soder.
That was great.
That was amazing.
That was really good.
I'm really trying here. I'm Dan Soder.
I want to finger you.
I hear sausage fingers.
That's both of them.
Yeah.
How? I am an American Indian. I'm Dan Soder, the American Indian.
Yeah.
This is all he fucking does. You think I can't do that? Shannon, number two, we're better at impressions.
A better looking host.
That is also true. Both of us.
Both of you.
How much better? All right. Wow. You got to have a double team with me and Zach or Dan Soder and Big J. Uh-huh. Who gets the butt? Who gets the mouth? We're not touching that gross pussy that you have.
All right.
But who gets your butt and who gets your mouth on each
team? I'll take the
fucking... Dante can take the pussy on both teams.
I mean, let me think about what I know of you guys. Okay, so...
Who has STDs?
Yeah. Who's going to spread it around less?
She's
going to
choose me for the butt so it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, she's thinking about the dick stuff. About. Okay, I got it. So Zach for the butt.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt, and she doesn't have to look at me. It's a win-win.
Where do you want me?
Where do you want me?
Shannon, what was that? What did you say that again? Just one more time. Where do you want me?
Well, I mean, I got the vagina, so
Dante's
only
got
one hole left.
I know this part is actually making me very uncomfortable.
Ah.
Not as uncomfortable as this double team is going to be.
All of a sudden, Shannon and I keep catching eyes. As I'm staring at her through the glass.
Save me.
Yeah.
All right, number three.
Shannon's just attracted you because she's talking to you through glass right now.
Yeah. And he does mimic that of prisoners.
All right, so we're better at impressions and we're better at double teaming. Better at double teaming.
That's actually a foursome.
With Dante as a third.
Yeah.
With Dante.
I'm taking the fucking.
All right. Fourth thing that was better at the bonfire than Real Ass Podcast. Five.
Five.
550.
Better topics.
Better topics.
Yeah.
Any topics.
Yeah. Well,
we have
especially because I pick most of them.
Have
but, yeah, better topics.
Topics. Quit while you're ahead, Shannon.
The better studio.
Way better studio. You downplayed that.
Way better studio.
That one's not even a joke.
Yeah, the mics over there don't love them.
Exactly. See, guys? So that's what
Fanoia.
I'm saying.
I don't like the Fanoia over there.
Us too. We get it. One time there was rain and you fucked the fat bartender. Held on another 25 podcasts.
Listen, Shannon.
We don't like your Fanoia over there.
You've been insubordinate, Shannon.
Here's honestly, because I've talked about this off mic so often that I just thought you weren't interested in talking about it.
Shannon, I'm interested in talking about everything. Here's what I need you to do from now on. And I really mean this. This is crazy because we are having a special bonfire producer, best story. And we're just calling it The Bonfire. The show is going to be called a special presentation of The Bonfire next week.
Luis Gomez presents The Bonfire?
Yeah. Okay. I swear to God. I'm not even lying about this. I swear to God. Next Friday will be The Bonfire live on Gas Digital.
Anything rude that you go, I swear to God. You don't need to say, I swear to God.
Shannon, I want Bobby to take the logo from The Bonfire, and I want to create graphics. And it's going to be a special presentation, one time only, The Bonfire on GasDigitalNetwork.com. If this isn't done, you're fired next week. I'm not kidding about any of this. I'll get a brand new entire production staff. Alex would fucking suck her boyfriend's cock to be on this show.
And then take a picture of it and show you.
Yes, and then I would masturbate to the mental thought of it later on. Obviously.
Okay.
The Bonfire exclusively on Gas Digital next Friday. Special presentation of The Bonfire.
That's nice. He gave you a whole week to put it together.
I know. This is a big fucking deal.
Generous,
I want to see
man.
It. I want to see it. Okay? I think legally we have to have a little asterisk in there that says it's not actually The Bonfire, but I don't exactly know. It's satire. I don't know the way the laws work with satire, but we're just kidding, government.
Spell bonfire with a
Y. Call it Bonflame.
That's smart. Bonfire.
Yeah. B-O-N.
No, but I want people to think it's really The Bonfire. I sort of want to take that shine and take their listeners. Because once then we plan the show where we're doing better impressions. Okay, look. I'm the host. We're going to do better impressions.
The better host.
We're going to double team Shannon on the show and bring Dante, and we're going to tap him in. We're going to have better topics, and we're going to have a way better studio. So once the people come and see that we have all of this better than them, then guess what? We steal them and crush them.
Here's what I'll do for you.
Then people listen to us in their rental cars.
Exactly.
Here's what I'll do for you. When I take Shannon's vagina at the bonfire for that threesome,
yeah,
I will keep hitting Jay and Dan Soda with my dick every chance I get.
Don't do that. No? What you should do is you should start pressing your thumb into Shannon's rib so it's uncomfortable for her, so she should feel like the experience isn't that good.
I could just go deeper if you want. That would, anyway.
Shannon, that's we're on the air. We will go as far as we want to go with this bit. We're on the air. It's a fucking gag. Not as much as Shannon's going to be gagging on my fucking penis. Woo! I'm sorry,
Mr.
Shannon.
Flair.
I see Ric Flair. Woo! Yeah. And Mr. Perfect combined, because he used to flip his pen in the air. Remember that?
Yes.
Absolutely. Perfect. That's what he would do.
Yeah.
I loved it. Thought it was very cool. We'd do it in middle school and just smack my pen across the room all the time. Because I'm absolutely perfect.
Wasn't that Mr. Perfect?
Yeah, that's what
did
I said.
Both.
I'd say a Ric Flair, Mr. Perfect combo.
Wow.
That's why it's a better impression.
Perfect.
Does hybrid.
Perfect Flair. Because I'm absolutely, woo, perfect.
This is pretty good.
Right?
Not the impression, but this pen flip was great.
Can Dan Soder do any of that? Shannon, say it loud and say it clear. Dan Soder is, what is he?
And it isn't.
A faggot.
I was gonna say that.
Right.
I was going to say,
wow.
You know.
Hey, I think she redeemed herself on that. That was a redeeming quality right there.
Wow.
Jesus
wow,
Christ.
Why would you call him a faggot?
Shannon calls Dan a faggot.
That is true. That's number six.
Yeah. Oh.
Shannon said Dan's a
faggot. And he won't even have time to get better at the impressions that he's doing because he's just doing all that stupid television work for
the
a ton of money.
The only thing that would have been better is what Shannon would have said if Dante wasn't here.
Oh, fuck me. God. You know, I don't even want to start a war with the bonfire. And you've caused this, Shannon. Do you see what you've caused?
Sorry.
Do you see what you're doing?
Yeah.
You're tearing this family apart.
You're tearing.
Not as much as I'm going to be tearing.
You got the fucking quaff. Tearing me apart.
Look, Lewis, at the end of the day, though, all the listeners that we're going to obtain from the bonfire is also because of me.
Damn, this is true.
She's been here a long time.
Wow. She's basically going on a press tour.
Not as hard as she's
going
to be playing with my balls. Shannon, give me a fucking drop right now.
Never.
Give me a fucking drop right now, Shannon.
Should have flipped the pen right after that.
Woo!
Simply perfect.
Absolutely. Woo!
Oh, man.
I know I failed once. How many times do you think they had to recut Mr. Perfect doing that?
Tons.
Because you can never drop it. He's perfect.
Yeah.
That's why they were pre-tapes and not live.
Yeah, they were. What happened? When he died really early, too, right?
Died recently.
They all died.
Like, after 10 years ago?
The 2002 Rumbles. I died like 2004.
Mm. That's,
his heart wasn't perfect.
Harry and the thing you're doing with the Capitol Wrestling thing, those guys were like, they really get the shit beat out. Like, they just stopped that. The chair smacks in the head.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore?
No, dude.
In the WWE, they don't.
What?
In the WWE.
But I always thought they kind of just put their head up, their hands up.
No, they take the shot in the head, dude.
Here's what happened. ECW hit in the 90s, and hardcore wrestling became somewhat of a mainstream thing.
And it also became a badge of honor to not put your hands up.
Yeah.
And now they're all dead.
Yeah.
Or they're like Mick Foley, and they literally talk to you like they're underwater.
But I also think that's, I don't know if just these chair shots were fucking doing it.
No, it's everything.
They change everything. When you watch WWE now, it's pretty interesting, like, to watch it from a production standpoint, because when they get hit now, they do this camera shake, and it didn't exist back in the 90s.
Yeah.
They do a camera shake. When they slam them to the mat, the camera goes, like, you're almost like on like a like video game, like a rumble.
Shaking the whole
And what
stadium.
It does is, number one, it sort of masks because in HD now you can see everything. It's not like back in the day. So it masks the fact that they're not really hitting each other. And it also sort of adds to the effect of like how powerful it is. But it's just when they
put more mics under the ring too.
They also do that. Now I don't watch wrestling and I haven't been watching it like a lot over time. So what happened was I just randomly watched it one day and I was
watch, like gay MMA all the time.
Yeah, of course. Why, you know. But and it was such an extreme thing that came from remembering the way that wrestling used to be to sort of the way it is now.
Yeah, but guys get fucked up a lot more. Yeah. Now. Everybody's got black eyes. Everybody's constantly bruised up because they work a lot snugger because of the HD. That was actually a memo that went out when they switched to HD.
Yeah.
We got to hit each other a little harder.
Yeah, you got to actually do it.
Because it's like you can just see when somebody whiffs it.
Yeah.
Well, the best one, I feel like the best, like most clear faker of all time, I feel like was, which I love that shirt, by the way, Razor Ramon, yeah. Because he just, I mean, he was jumping as he punched. Like, it was like the, yeah, it was like comical how he was not even close to hitting anybody.
Yeah. Also, how he was just a white guy doing the most racist impression of all time.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something,
Chief. Well, he shot a guy in the head in front of a strip club. He's Puerto Rican or Cuban or whatever.
He did that? He killed somebody?
He shot a man in the head in front of a strip club and killed him.
Wow.
He could be whatever kind of Spanish.
When was that?
Before he was a wrestler. He was a bodyguard at a strip club. Guy came in with a gun. He took the gun and killed him.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Chico.
Don't mess with the bad guy, man. And then he threw his toothpick at his body.
Yeah, yeah. And then he's like, oh, shit, DNA. And he picks it up.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people say he's all fucked up.
Wow.
He's never gotten over it.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of hard.
What kind of bitch is he? Come on. People
die. You saw that body cam footage of that cop where he was, like, trying to take a guy out of the house, and then all of a sudden the guy pulls a gun on him, and he, like, deflects the gun away, pulls out his gun, and shoots the guy in, like, one motion.
No, pull
it was,
that
like,
up.
Fucking perfect training. Yeah. And if that's, like, it's, like, an acceptable it's an acceptable body camera murder.
You ever have a dude pull a gun on you?
Just cops.
Well, I mean, everybody's had that. Not you.
These guys have never had a cop pull a gun on them.
No.
Even the trouble that you guys have been into, it wasn't in a situation where a cop was pulling a gun.
No.
No, I've never had a gun pulled on
me. Actually, no, that's not true. I have had a gun. There was a time where we were pranking we were doing a thing where we put my friend in the trunk. And then we drove up in front of a bar. It was actually, they did this in the Jackass movie, I think, but it was before this. We went down in Long Island, we drove up to this area, and then the trunk.
My feet is like, I glued all of my friends' pubes to my face.
Yeah, yeah.
And just to jerk off.
I was shot out of a cannon. Yeah.
And I had roller skates on.
Yeah. He came out of the trunk, and we, like, you know, beat the shit out of him and threw him back in the trunk and slammed the door and drove away. And we were, like, laughing about it. And then there was, like, an undercover cop chasing us. Behind us, and my buddy thought it was just a normal person that was chasing us, so he started driving erratically, like, on the other side of the road. He was, like, making illegal turns, and then, like, the lights came on, and then they came out and drawed the guns on us, and then we're like, open the fucking trunk. And then when we opened the trunk, my buddy was like, I'm just kidding around. And then they really thought that he was really kidnapped and was just trying to play to be like, no, it's cool, like that. And they would not, it took them a while to believe us.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of how crazy my friend was driving.
All right, gents, let's talk about PureVPN really quick. Here's the deal. You don't want to be on the internet without a VPN, okay? When you're searching the internet, companies are collecting your data. This is very valuable, okay? Without a VPN, you're at risk for companies monetizing your data, hackers getting your personal information, and having your online habits tracked. This is an especially important tool for those who like streaming or downloading content online, and this is why we recommend purevpn.com. They guarantee your online security, and this is how you can securely browse the internet. And since I'm not a techie, here's a Google explanation of what a VPN is. VPNs, or virtual private networks, allow users to securely access a private network and share data remotely through public networks. Much like a firewall protects your data on a computer, VPNs protect it online. VPN will encrypt your traffic and hide your real IP address, which can be used to identify you. And this is what PC Mag has said about having a VPN. VPN is a uniquely powerful tool that you should definitely have in your security toolkit. Now here's the deal. We use it here. It is just a simple Chrome extension, and now you can feel secure when you're surfing the internet. So right now, go to purevpn.com/RAP. That is purevpn.com/RAP. And you get this amazing security for just $4 per month. Okay, let's get back into it. Have you ever been in a trunk of a car?
I haven't, no. I always convince other people to do it.
It's horrifying.
Yeah.
Horrifying. One time, with Bobby Kelly, like, while we were adults. I just got into it and we're like, let's see what happens. And within 30 seconds, I was shrieking to let me out.
Really?
Yeah, shrieking to let me out. I get claustrophobic. And
it's not comfortable. Also, there's not that much oxygen in there, you know?
Everyone else in the drive-thru was so scared.
Dad, we got to stop for
food. I'm picking number 3 and number 7. Shut up back there.
You fucking mook.
Dude.
Fuck, dude. It was horrifying.
Bobby gets his bag and tips over like the Flintstones.
Let's see the body cam footage of the cop who deflected the bad guy.
It was like national news a week ago.
I would love to see it. I figure they would already be pulling it up. Nope. Sort of. The instinct should be if something's we bring up something, you sort of have it ready to go in case we want to go to
he
it.
He said he has one, but there's no shots fired in it.
There's definitely shots fired in the world.
You don't see the shots fired.
Oh, well, we want to see death.
But can't you hear the shots fired?
Yeah.
Okay, you can hear them? Okay. So
you never had a civilian, like a beef with somebody pulled a gun on you?
No, I don't have beef with people that have guns, typically.
You don't know they have guns? What the fuck?
I had a woman pull a razor blade on me and a guy pull a knife on me once.
A knife and a razor blade actually would, I feel like, scare me more than a gun.
Well, my dad was stabbed to death.
Because a gun, it's like, oh, you can just end it. You know what I mean? But with the stabbing, it's like you can't
even
put your hand.
It's always about you, Lewis. Jesus Christ.
I'd much rather. You'd rather be shot than stabbed?
I'm stabbed.
It is one up from his father.
Yeah.
It's an evolution.
This isn't it. He's at a guy's house. It's not a traffic stop. He's at a guy's house. I'll just find it.
It's fine. Don't worry.
No, don't worry. We'll stop the show.
Give him the next hour to fucking find it. It's fine. It's just not the one. It's just not it.
I think like ABC7 might have it.
Yeah, no, I've never had anybody pull a gun on me. There was a girl once on 34th Street when I was selling Comedy Club tickets, just a ghetto bitch, started talking to her and her friend, lesbian, just fucking pulled out a blade. And I was like, so funny because this little girl, like, I don't want to get cut, but there was no fear in me. Because, like, in my mind, like, I could easily take this blade from her.
When you fight somebody with a knife, you always assume that you're going to get cut.
Yeah, you're gonna
because
get cut.
If you try not to get cut,
you're gonna get hurt. You're reacting. If you're reacting where I don't want to get cut, you're gonna end up getting stabbed to death.
Yeah.
But if you're reacting where I want to hurt this guy and take the knife from him, and that's the goal.
And know that you're gonna get cut. Just assume that.
Just as a part of the fucking.
Yeah.
Then I think you have a better chance at the very least of surviving. I don't know how to take a knife from a person, but from a young lesbian, like this 19, 18 year old young lesbian, small girl, I remember being like, I'll hit her in the face six or seven times before she even thinks.
You won't even have to hit her six or seven times.
I mean, I would fucking cave this bitch's face in. And I remember thinking it. I was like, I don't like the problem was it was on 34th Street and this bitch was being really loud and guys start like circling and watching and they don't know that she's got a blade in her hand. They're just seeing me punch a girl in the face.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And then they'll shoot you.
Why did she pull the blade on you in the first place?
I don't remember.
J. Gomez.
I was just being me. She was a producer for my podcast at the time.
That's what you get for asking a black girl if she wants to go to a hockey game.
No, it was a white chick. Ghetto white chick. Get with a black girlfriend. And their girl. There was three ghetto fucking thug, you know, just whatever it was. I have no idea how it even got there.
Yeah.
And then the other time was...
That's kind of a theme with you.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't know how it gets there. I let it escalate. But then another time I was in like a Walmart. I don't remember how I literally bumped into this dude's girlfriend. It was walking through a Walmart down an aisle, and they were doing the thing where they were standing next to each other, and they wouldn't move. So as I pass, they just walk through me. You know what I'm saying? It's just a shitty fucking thing to do.
No, they don't move the shoulders
at all. In that moment, you have to make a decision. Am I going to shoulder bump these people, which is going to become maybe a thing? Like, am I going to actually go through the process? And you're going like, why would I? But you still go, no, I'm not going to let them walk through me.
I've stopped moving I don't move my shoulders at all.
I know, but this is what happens. So then I didn't really move my shoulder enough. I did a little bit, but enough to let them know that, oh, I'm still here. This is a subtle thing that only dumb guys know.
Were they on the correct side? Only guys know this. Yeah, were they on the correct side of the sidewalk? Were they walking to their right?
Inside of an aisle in a store.
But they were British, so they were on the left.
Yes,
so they
were on the right.
They're like, oh, this is poppycock. No, I was walking.
Hooligans?
They walked by me, and I did move a little bit, but not enough to not bump. I moved enough to let them know, like, oh, I'm moving, but also, fuck you. Take that little bump right there, right? And it was the girl. It was the fucking girl that it was next to. So she's like, what the fuck, motherfucker, or something like that. And then
Hasidic
I was.
Hasidic Jews.
Yeah, and then I was like, you know, we started kind of like jawing, and me and the boyfriend started jawing, and he just lifted up his shirt and showed me that he had a knife. That's all he did. A smaller guy, smaller Puerto Rican guy, but he showed me underneath this thing that he had a knife. That's what he did. Just showed me the knife. And then I was like, all right, let me not. And then
what was your exact words when he said that?
What aisle are those in? Yeah. Stay right here.
So that's your weapon, huh? All right. Well, and he just grabs a bag of Twix. He's like, ha ha.
I don't remember how I reacted. He was just kind of quiet about it. He later just pulled it up. And then I was like in my head, I was like, all right, well, what am I going to do here now? Am I going to fucking try to fight this guy? Am I going to call the cops? Am I going to what? And then I just said, fuck it. Let me just go. Let me leave well enough alone. It's just sort of like...
So you were like, whatever, man. And I just walked away.
We're cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. I guess I'm wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I'm the asshole. Do you want some gum?
But see, I feel like...
Fuck, sail on plantain!
I feel like in that moment, that's like... It's one of those things where it's so hard to do, and I don't think I'd ever have, like, the balls to do it. But if you think about it rationally, like, in that store especially, and you go, he shows you that. Like, if you do that, like... What the fuck are you gonna like? You're going to
exactly
in a public place, stab me.
Show me the handle of a nine, and I was like, "You're gonna shoot me in the fuck? Shut the fuck! You ain't doing shit.
Yeah,
you're gonna shoot me right now. You
go to the jail for the
pussy.
Rest of your life
you
for this.
Fucking idiot! Shoot me!" And they were, and he's like, "I didn't think this out. Like, there's nothing but witness." And then I'm yelling.
Yeah,
oh, you gonna show me
now? He's like, "Fuck
you,
now.
Bitch! Shoot me, you fucking punk!"
Yeah,
and he's like, "Oh, I didn't really think this out. I thought he would just be scared."
Right.
Yeah,
that's how it happens.
I remember one time I was outside of Eastville Comedy Club, and we heard a crash, just a big car crash, right? Like literally, what it was a car parked at the light, or like maybe three cars back, right from the light, but they were stopped, and then a Jeep came and just crashed into them, like wasn't paying attention, whatever it was, right? And we're like, oh shit, that was like crazy. And then we just see a kid, like a 19-year-old white kid, like get out of the car and start running, right? And then we see another guy go and grab him and be like, what's going on? He's like, oh, this kid's drunk. And he starts to hold him, right? So then the kid fumbles, a gun comes out of his fucking waist, right? And then people are like, he's got a gun. And then a bunch of people start grabbing him. They start like hitting him and fucking holding him there. And this kid starts crying. And he's like, please let me out. Like bawling. Like can't. Now, I don't know exactly what happened. But my assumption is this. He's a dumb kid from the suburbs.
Has a gun on him.
Has a gun. Trying to be cool.
Crashes.
Got drunk. Drunk driving. Crashes and goes, I need to... Get the fuck out of here.
I got a gun on me.
Ditch the gun.
The gun is a 5-year minimum.
Doggy, this kid's life.
And a year for every bullet.
I watched his life crumble before his eyes. I don't even know if this kid's a bad kid. It's like I was a kid where if I would have had access to a gun when I was 18 and I would have... It's not that crazy that that situation, I could have stumbled down that path. Sure. Not being a person who's violent or going to hurt anybody, but just being a fucking moron.
Just being a kid.
It's another level. Being drunk and carrying a gun and driving a car, you're a fucking just
cool dude.
Channing, real ass dude of the week. Go. He's a real ass dude. He's got bad attitude. One might feel he's real. He's a real ass dude. So, that kid, I just felt bad for him. I remember feeling bad for him because I was like, whatever happened tonight.
He's fucked up.
It's over.
Yeah.
Can I ask you this? Is this a possible, I don't know the legality of this, but I've always thought this would be a great way to get out of like fights and conflicts and stuff, but I think it's probably illegal, is if you have like a fake police badge, you know what I mean? You never say you're a police officer, but instead of flashing the gun, if someone's like going to fight you and then you just show a badge, you never say you're a police officer, you just show a badge, then they have to immediately be like, fuck. You know what I mean?
As long as you don't get caught doing it.
You're committing a major crime. Yeah.
What's a major crime?
Yeah, impersonating a police officer, for sure.
But you didn't say you're a police officer.
It's a felony. You have a badge.
That's worse than a gun?
Yeah.
No, not worse than a gun.
Yes, it is.
No.
What?
Look up the punishment for impersonating a police officer.
You're in a situation where the people who are enforcing the laws are now it's in question. Like for years, I worked for the phone company for 25 years, and the DTs used to use phone trucks to, they would get phone trucks and do drug busts.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to Verizon had to put an injunction to stop them from doing it because we had to work in those neighborhoods, and then it put us at danger.
They thought you were a cop. Yeah.
And right, so, here,
depending on the state law, a person, a police officer may be considered either a felony, misdemeanor.
5 years, same.
Yeah, five. Punishment, imprisonment up to 5 years, sometimes more. It's not going to be the same. If you have a fake, it depends on what you're doing. If you have a fake badge.
Yeah, I'm not pulling people over being like, give me your wallet.
Yeah, if that scenario happened, yeah. You still have a judge there. And look, the truth is you're a fucking white kid with no record. You're not the same thing.
As far as you know.
When you're from the hood, you're a brown.
Pulling people off and taking money off them.
That's a different thing.
No, that's impersonating. I'm talking like some guys are going to be like, what mother? Like if you came up to me and a stranger and were trying to fight me and then I showed you a
badge.
Can
I tell you, I have a story.
You'd back down.
This happened in Detroit when I was I did a show in Detroit with Justin Silver, and I did tell this story on the show before, so I apologize for anybody that's heard this before, but it's relevant. This happened. I was at a show, and Justin Silver brought a bunch of friends out. Now, people that are friends with Justin Silver that aren't comedians, you have to understand the type of people these are. These are the lowest level of human.
Okay.
They're people, it's not that they, not the lowest level of human, because it's not like they don't have money or anything.
Yeah.
They are people that would befriend Justin without having that common ground of comedy. Sure. For the other reasons. Yeah, it's fucking nuts. Yeah, right? Imagine that.
They enjoy his personality.
They enjoy his company.
Yes.
The way he acts in life. Not as like a comedic thing. Like, Justin's great. We all come from different areas in life. It's kind of, he fits in because... But in life, if I wasn't a comic and we didn't have that commonality, Justin Silver's not the guy you want around. He's fucking taking a shirt off all the time. He's fucking got dogs. Get your dogs away from me, doggy. I don't want to see your chest or your dogs. Beat it, okay? So Justin brings out these handjobby fucking people from Detroit, and he is friends with this one guy who owns a company there, and it's all the people that work for him. And these people are just assholes. They don't give a fuck about comedy. They're not there. The guy who owns this company is the fucking man to them, right? Mm-hmm. He's the alpha dog. He owns this fucking big carpeting business. He's got a Lamborghini. He's fucking like, he's that
douchebag.
Guy. He's the worst. Okay. So he has 30 people there, 30 of his employees there. So it's sort of the fucking, whatever his name is, the Scott show,
he's
right?
Got the minions.
Doesn't fucking matter. Like, so it's not about comedy. It's not about me, Justin, whatever. So they're just disrespectful, getting drunk, talking over the show, whatever it is. So I get into an argument after the show with a chick. A girl comes up to me. She's like, you're just that funny. Like, you need to stop doing jokes about this. And I'm like, shut up, you fucking gross whore. Like, literally, that's my attitude, because I'm done. I don't even give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, these aren't my fans. These aren't comedy fans. These aren't people that are, that are patroning comedy clubs. These are people that shouldn't be in comedy clubs, sure. Okay? So for you to come up to me after the show because I didn't...
Get out of my face, you pig. Have you tried CBD?
Yeah.
So,
what's
but...
merch?
So she... So this guy comes up to me that's with their group, and he's like, "What do you?" I was like, "Yeah, mind your business. She's a fucking dumb whore. How about that?" Right? I'm like, "I'm that aggressive. I'm not being cool with these people at all.
They're so unlike.
They're the worst." Yeah. Okay, and I'm actually more calm since then. I've calmed down a little bit.
This was when?
About a year ago.
3 weeks ago.
Last weekend.
Yeah, a year and a half.
I'm different now.
Well, so this guy goes, "Oh yeah, buddy. Well, how about this?" And he pulls out a badge, and he goes, He goes, "I'm a cop. Well, how about that, right?" And then I go, because I just do my quick math. I was like, "Oh, we're drinking in a bar right now. He's hammered. He's not on. You can't do that. Even if you are a cop,
right?
He's not allowed to do that. He's not allowed to use being a cop
as a way to lose his job.
So I go, "Fuck you, you faggot pig. How about I smack you in your fucking mouth?"
Wait,
and then everyone was like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah.
Thank you. Good night."
Yeah. Mike. And then he did the next 30 minutes of his act.
And then he was like, "What?" I was like, "Yeah, you can't pull your fucking badge out. I'll shove that badge up your ass right now, bitch." And I started going really big with him, because then I was like, and you could see the worry on his face.
He was like,
"Let me see your number. Let me see your fucking number, you fucking bitch."
Well, that would be the fear if I did that to somebody, that they'd be like, even a little bit. Yeah.
They would do this, what I'm saying. But you're actually causing yourself worse trouble, because in that moment, they're going to realize you're not a cop, because the way you react in that moment, because this guy started shutting down and getting nervous. And then I was like, "This guy's not a fucking cop. This guy's not a fucking cop. And if he is a cop, he's terrified right now, because he just did something that he's not allowed to fucking do."
Feeny, your only chance in this situation is to cry and say it's your first week out of the academy.
You got to do the voice of the woman from Police Academy that had the squeaky voice. So it turns out, I found out he was like a...
security guard?
No, what do they call him? The
Bales?
The cops that can, like, they're part-time cops on, like, the weekend.
Auxiliary.
Auxiliary. He was an auxiliary cop, right? Yeah. Which is not even a fucking real cop. This bitch can't even carry a gun, okay? And then also, he can get in trouble for doing that. You can't just pull out your fucking badge while you're drinking with your friends at a bar. So I don't think that would work out for you.
But what about if I'm driving and then someone's cutting me off and I drive up next to him and put it on the window real quick?
That might work.
I'll scare him.
What is it going to do? You're just going to scare them? What's the point?
I get back in there. I don't like people passing me on the highway at all, ever.
Get in their head?
You can't pass me on the highway. It's a immediate shot to my manhood. You know what I mean?
I had a buddy who one time when I was selling comedy club tickets when I was like 19, I was like, I'm going to order weed. He was like, yeah, order weed. He wasn't even a buddy. It was like his second day selling tickets with me. I didn't even know this guy at all. It was just like a dude. He was maybe 25 or 26. I was like 19 at the time, okay? White guy. And he was like, yeah, call your weed dealer. I was like, cool. So I called my weed dealer, and my weed dealer came, and we were right out in Union Square, right in front of the Virgin Megastore at the time. And I remember he starts selling me weed, and the guy who I was with that was selling tickets for the second day comes over, pulls out his wallet, goes, get up against the wall right now, puts my weed dealer against the wall, okay, starts rifling through his pockets, takes all the weed, takes all the money out of his pockets, right? And at that point, I stepped in, and I was like, oh, he's just fucking around. He's my buddy. And then I see the look on the guy's face, and he went... And I was like, oh, shit. And I was like, no, this is doggy. He was trying to rob my weed dealer. He straight up was taking all of this kid's money and weed and was just going to fucking hustle him because he knew it was an 18-year-old kid. Mm. At the point where he takes your money and weed, you're like, you know what? I'm going to run your ID. Give me your ID. Boom. He walks away for a minute. He says, all right, get the fuck out of here. This kid is just happy to get the fuck out. He's not questioning anything, not thinking about anything. Yeah. That's a hustle that gets you shot.
Yeah.
That's a hustle that will get you fucking murdered.
Yeah. So wait, when you said he's just my buddy, what did the drug dealer do and what did your buddy do?
My buddy, I could tell he was like annoyed that I said something. And then when my drug dealer left, he was like, dude, I was going to fucking get all that weed and that money. And I was like, dude, I know this kid. I was like, what are you talking about? You can't just rob
people. So the kid
right
was
now.
Just like, oh, okay, cool. And then walked away with all that.
Weirded out. It was a white kid, too. It's a different thing.
You stopped picking up your calls after that?
Probably. I wouldn't pick up my calls after that. It's terrifying. Yeah. So that's like a whole other hustle. I'm sure they do that all the time. People and will break into drug apartments and rob them pretending to be cops.
That's why it's 5 years. It's 5 years doing it.
Love a good hustle.
Yeah. All right, really quick. Got to talk about OpenFit, which is fucking incredible. I love it right now. I'm loving OpenFit. If you don't know what it is, it's an amazing streaming platform that allows you to work out for the comfort of your living room in as little as 10 minutes a day. Okay. OpenFit has a bunch of amazing trainers and classes. OpenFit classes are led by some of the most effective and engaging trainers in the world. You can sculpt your body with Andrea Rogers, founder of the worldwide sensation Extend Bar, or get in crazy shape with Hunter McIntyre, named by Sports Illustrated as one of the top 50 fittest athletes in the world. These trainers know how to get you results and they know how to get them to you very quickly, okay? Forget all the complexity and stress around getting fit and just press play and work out on your schedule. 600 seconds with celebrity trainer Devin Wiggins packs the fat burning, muscle building, and body sculpting benefits of a much longer session into a fraction of that time. You get access it anywhere at any time. It works on your computer, your web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, and Roku, and you can lose up to 15 pounds in just the first 30 days. Flatten your abs, shape your body, look and feel great. This is incredible. I'm telling you right now, I'm using OpenFit right now at the gym. I literally bring it on my cell phone and I have the workout right in front of me. I've worked out for a very long time. I've been fat. I've been in shape. When you have people that know what they're talking about developing a program for you, it makes it so much easier. Take all the guesswork out of it. If you don't know where you're going, you're sort of bored with what you're doing, this is a great way to figure out a bunch of new things to do in a really, really smart way. I'm telling you right now, I personally am using this. I really, really love it. They change the way that I'm working out and they can change the way that you're working out as well. So right now, what you need to do is text the word real, R-E-A-L, to 303030. Text the word real, R-E-A-L, and you're going to get full access to OpenFit, all the workouts, all the nutrition information, absolutely free. They give you a free trial for 30 days. Try it out. See if you like it. Text the word real to 303030 and try out OpenFit. Okay, let's get back into it. Do we have any good scams, Shannon?
We got the cop one.
We have a couple.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do some Scam That Jew scams. Let's do it, boys.
I'm a very desperate man, and I live with my mother.
Scam That Jew.
All right. You guys know how to join the conversation here. If you have a great scam to send to us, something that you can get away with, not send you to jail. Don't send our fans to fucking jail. Send it in to scamthatjew@gmail.com. We will pick the best one. And we give them a free Scam That Jew shirt. You want to show them that shirt for a second? You can only get this shirt by winning this contest. You can't buy it. Simple as that. Okay. So what do we got? What do we got?
Nice.
Okay, so the first one's from Dusty. Hey, doggy, your car making weird sounds or has the check engine light on for a while? Don't know what's wrong with it? List the car online for a good amount, less than the current value, saying that it's in fantastic shape. When people respond about it, ask them if they're bringing a mechanic for pre-purchase inspection or if they want to take it to the shop. Only respond to the ones that will be. Meet up with them and bam, you find out exactly what's wrong with your car and it costs you no money. Just 20 to 30 minutes and a little awkward conversation. Tell them you'll get back to them when it gets fixed or want to field a few offers and block the bitch's number and email. Andrew from Massachusetts.
But then you still have to pay for the repair. All you're doing is just
finding out what's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an assessment. How much is an assessment in your car to find out what's wrong?
Usually nothing. The mechanic I go to, if you don't know the guy,
if he's doing that, he's doing it because you have a relationship.
If you go to Meineke,
$100 if you go to $100, the guy will come out and look at a car for you.
Yeah, they're not going to just do it for no reason.
Really?
They have to. Let's say most dealerships will charge a flat fee, which in most cases is the labor rate per hour. This rate can charge anywhere between 90 to 125 in cases even more.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I see, save $100. Not bad. It's a lot. It's a lot, and it's also too specific. Here's my problem with that. It's like you have to have a car that's making noises.
Yeah.
That's a whole fucking, like, yes.
You have to also, the amount of time you have to spend listing the car online, taking pictures of the car,
meeting up with the person.
Yeah. $100, that's a lot.
It's a lot. Too much. Too much. All right, good. Next one.
Okay, this guy wants to be referred to as O-Dog. If you want a gift card worth $10 of credit at any FedEx office store, go to FedExOfficeSettlement.com and fill out the claim form. Apparently, FedEx Office violated some law and there's a class action settlement.
Wait, what is it? FedEx?
FedExOfficeSettlement.com.
.com. Go ahead.
If you can provide a receipt showing you are a member of the legal class that has been wrong, you will get a $25 credit.
Wait, show a receipt showing
the legal class. Yeah,
if you show a receipt that you are a member of the legal class that has been wronged, you get a $25 credit. If, like most people, you don't have your credit card receipts from 8 months ago, you can get $10 by just swearing you are a member of the legal class. At most, they'll check to see if you exist before sending you a check. Now kick over the shirt, O-Dog.
So $10, I like it. All right, FedEx has agreed to provide a store-valued card worth $25 to each class member who timely and properly submits a claim form with the original copy of an electronically printed FedEx office receipt printed between January 2017 and August 2017, displaying the first two and last four digits of the credit card number, or $10 to each class member who timely and properly submits a claim form. So as long as you fill out the claim form, you get $10. Free $10 right now from FedExOfficeSettlement.com. It's not bad. That's not a bad dude. Just a free $10.
I got one.
Like, can I have 12,000 claim forms?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, for $10, that's lunch on FedEx. Yeah. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I got no problem with that.
Yeah, but I don't think we should give away a shirt for a scam that's worth less than a shirt.
Yeah.
Interesting.
If you go on JetBlue, when you fly JetBlue, if you tell them the TV ain't working after the flight, $15
credit. $15
credit. 15. Nice. About the price of a shirt.
Yeah, that's not bad. It's a $15 credit. That's the problem. This is also a $10.
This is a card.
This is a gift card anywhere as well. Mm-hmm. So this is, I need to use it back at FedEx, and I need to use that at JetBlue. $15 isn't great.
Doesn't hurt. $15 more than you had.
If you tell anybody at any airline that the stewardess made you feel uncomfortable because of your sexuality or race, you'll probably get a $200 voucher pretty quickly. Pretty fucking quick.
But don't they need? They're gonna probably go on that flight.
It was flight number whatever.
Somebody.
It was flight number whatever. I don't remember the guy's name. He had brown hair. Simple as that. You're not gonna get it. They're not gonna fire somebody off a baseless claim. They don't have anything more than that. Nobody's kicked up dust more than that. They're just giving you $200 of fucking baggage fees back. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Shannon, you just flew, right?
Yeah.
Do me a favor right now.
Okay.
What airline did you fly?
United.
Go contact United right now and say, hey, I felt very uncomfortable by one of the stewards on my flight. Shannon, do this.
I don't like to be dishonest.
Yeah.
Well, you need to fucking...
I don't make Harrington
do it. You probably shouldn't date a criminal.
Yeah.
Harrington, you go do it. You go do it. I want to see if this works. I bet you we can get a $150 voucher for saying that I was... You don't got to be anything more. Like, they made me feel uncomfortable. Mm. You don't have to get any more than that.
And
how do they make you feel uncomfortable? I don't even want to talk about it.
Shannon won't do this, but she's putting a file in a cake right now.
Yeah.
Is there any more scams?
Yeah. Okay. From Joseph. Hi guys, my name is Joseph and I stream video games under the name King Shady. This is a trick my friends and I use to get a free copy of a game. This is what's known as a license transfer. It works for Xbox and PlayStation. How it works is you can make any Xbox your home Xbox for your account. Once it's your home Xbox, it knows you own all the games you have in the account and it lets anybody else play those games.
So you split them with your friends.
Yeah.
It's a $60 scam.
Yeah, it's not really a scam. It's that they know it. It's not like you're not really scamming anything. You know, Xbox, they know what the fuck's going on. If you think that Netflix doesn't know you're sharing your password. In fact, I remember, maybe this was just a rumor, but I believe that the policy back in the day with Netflix was they wanted people to share their passwords because it was showing people the service, and they get people addicted to the service, and this happened to me. I didn't have Netflix for years.
Give you a little taste.
For 2 years, I didn't have Netflix. I didn't give a fuck about Netflix at all, and I was broke, and it didn't really matter. I wasn't going to spend $14 a month, $12 a month on this, but I get a password from a friend or whatever. And then I ended up making a little bit more money, and it started becoming inconvenient when I would sign in, and then it would go, oh, you're already signed in on 3 accounts, so you can't do it. And I go, can we just fucking spend the $10? Who gives a shit, right? It's showing the service. I think it's a smarter way to do it.
Like a 14-day free trial to Gas Digital?
Sort of like a 14-day free trial. So
want one more?
Yeah, let me get one more, because that wasn't a great one. None of these are great, guys. Maybe we don't have a winner this week.
Okay, this is from Dylan. It's a little long. What's up, guys? This is an already taken place scam, but it's so good I think you guys would want to hear it.
I love it.
So years ago, my buddy used to run a thing where he would take your Xbox, modify it so you can play burned video games, which he would make and sell for $10. $10, not the end of the scam. But after that, after a while, people catching up on Microsoft, they started banning the Xbox IP address and serial numbers. People were furious and couldn't play their Xbox online. He decided to help everyone and fix the problem, which turned out as another great scam. He told anyone who went through him to go to Walmart and buy an Xbox, bring that one and yours to him. He would switch out the Xbox inside so yours was not a banned Xbox. You get the next Xbox inside and a free $50. They would never ask for the gift card. Cheap video games, scamming Walmart and Microsoft, and free $50. This one I had wanted to tell you for a while. Thanks, guys. P.S.
I'm in your time. I'm sorry. I'm missing what the scam is. Harrington, did you?
No, it says Walmart was running a special at the time where you got a $50 gift card when you bought an Xbox. So then you return it like nothing happened. You get the next fresh Xbox and the $50.
Yeah,
Let me
respond to that one really quick. I apologize, because I want him to understand. It's just, number one, that $50 Xbox game doesn't exist anymore. Number two, this isn't something people can do. This, like, you had to know his friend back then. Is that what it is?
You basically have to have a guy who's good at that.
It's a to-do. No, it's not. Yeah, you're not getting a shirt for that. Dylan, I appreciate it.
I might get a shirt.
Let me see.
You're not getting a shirt.
You have a Toyota Corolla. And your engine is fucked up and seizes. You rent a car and swap engines.
Someone wrote that in.
What the fuck?
Yeah, but not only just engines, but like little
trannies,
parts. Anything.
Anything.
You could just windshield wipers. You can just go rent a car.
Literally could put a brand new engine in your car.
Don't they keep track of that?
They wouldn't check the...
No, nobody's checking them. I mean, you have a rent a car and turn it back? And how quick they
but
crank it up.
But aren't there serial numbers that are sort of on the...
Yeah, but by then you're already... It's already done. Yeah,
what are they going to say? Hey, let me see the serial number of your car that's back.
How would they even know that?
But if it's making a weird noise when you bring it back, aren't you liable for the...
Even if it's not making a noise...
Yeah, but then you post it online and you put it up for sale and you get somebody to...
Not only that, but if you have a car that's just older, you got 100,000 miles on it...
So then you also
got
to know a good mechanic, though, or a mechanic that's willing to do... Because that's for sure super illegal.
Yeah, but you know what an engine will cost you to replace?
Oh, I know, but what I'm saying is you just got to know... If you know a guy, and you can be like, hey, man, swap these things out.
Yeah.
Let's see. Hold on. I'm reading an article specifically about a guy swapping an entire engine. Hertz used to use Rent Eraser, Shelby Mustang, back in the day. People would rent it, swap the engine, and return it. Hertz didn't know to look for it, and the hourly folks cleaning the cars didn't know what the engine should look like. According to FlyTalk member, I'm sure it's done now here and there, swapping easy items, rims, tires, floor mats, etc., but all major items have a VIN etched in, so I'm not sure how one could swap an engine, transmission, etc., without getting caught. I'm shocked that's the reason they gave you. I've often said rental agencies should charge you based off the number of days, plus a set blah, 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 blah. If you want to swap vehicles without a valid mechanic reason, you just pay an extra $10 cleaning fee and go on your way. The client rents a car and swaps parts from another vehicle, such as tires, airbags, whatever. The client returns a rental. Okay, yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, they're saying that the bigger pieces that are more expensive.
They look at them. There'll be more of them.
The reality is it probably worked for a few years. Sure. People were doing it regularly. But I'm sure the tires, like, you know, new tire, you had strip tires, brakes, brake pads. Yeah. You know, you could really strip a bunch of them. Yeah. So, yeah, did that guy win a t-shirt? Who sent that one in?
I can't remember, but somebody decent.
That's
something.
A good one.
Yeah.
I like that scam. It's not bad. All right. We'll scam that Jew. Nobody wins today, huh?
No.
That was it? All right. That's it. Scam that Jew! All right, 573 Gasline. Are you having trouble with your bitch? We do have a phone call. What's your name? Where are you calling from? You're on the Real Ass Podcast.
All right, thanks.
What's up, buddy? How you doing, man? What's your name? Where are you calling from? And turn your thing down. Turn your computer down. There we go. Are you there?
Yeah.
Cool. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Lil Ray 55 from Portland.
Fuck yeah, Lil Ray 55 from Portland. How you doing, brother? What do you got? What's your problem with your bitch?
Oh, well, I wasn't going to answer a question. I was going to ask you a question.
No, I know. That's what I said. What's your problem with your bitch? Or is it not a problem with your bitch?
Well, no. See, my name's Lil Ray 55, and I'm kind of a bitch myself, so... Let's see here. I'm going to read a question that someone else asked, and it's, how long did it take you to come up with a story on why your eye is black?
How long does it take me to come up with a story? I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm being beat at home?
Kim can swing, dude.
He wishes.
Yeah, right? No, there's no story. I'm back in the gym. I'm training and I'm sparring.
That's when he goes to Sbarro's for pizza.
Yeah, Sbarro-ing.
Sbarro-ing.
Sbarro, it's very exciting. Is that it, Lil Ray?
That's it, man.
All right.
This guy's got a lot of energy.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not like I'm a woman who is saying that I claim to fall downstairs. I post pictures of me sparring on my Instagram. So, you know, I got jumped.
It happens.
I got jumped in the hood. Any other calls?
No, and they're saying in the chat room that wasn't actually Lil Ray.
Oh, that wasn't Lil Ray?
No.
Who's Lil Ray?
It says someone who's often in the chat.
Oh, okay.
I think someone was impostering him.
Yeah. Out of my own curiosity, can we please see the fucking video that Mike sent to Harrington? The Feeny sent to Harrington?
Oh, yeah.
Real quick. I think
pretty good time.
The real Lil Ray is on.
Oh, real Lil Ray's on? Yeah. Lil Ray. Lil Ray, what's up, baby boy? You're on the Real Ass Podcast.
You'll never see it, Zach.
Hey, what's up, Lewis?
What's up, kid?
This is the real fucking Lil Ray.
Thank God.
This sounds a lot more like a Lil Ray.
All right, Lil Ray, good. Thank God you're here, man. What's going on, brother?
Well, see, I don't have a problem with my bitch. I do have a problem maybe y'all can help me with, though, is I need to stop sleeping with random people.
You need to stop sleeping with random people? Why? Why do you say that?
It's gotten to, like, a huge point. Like, anytime you have to take, like, 2 or 3 STD tests within a month, fuck that.
I say, and thank you, Lil Ray, for the phone call. I will answer that. Yeah, I say don't take the STD tests. You know, the more you don't know, the better you are. That's what I say. The more, you know, I feel like going to the doctor is just, it's just them letting you know what's wrong. And if you don't know what's wrong.
I say you're fine as long as you don't get AIDS. And if you're a straight male who's not doing heroin, you're not going to get AIDS.
Yeah. I don't know. I liked having casual sex and being somewhat of a hoe. Dante, this is your expertise here. Sorry.
No.
I'm just getting distracted by your...
I don't think... I'm just trying to retweet so we get some more questions. Here's the thing. Relationships and sex is two things that you don't get good at unless you practice. It's the only thing that a man is supposed to be good at without practice. You got to hook up with people. You have to fuck people if you want to be good at fucking.
Yeah.
It's just like anything else. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it as long as you're being safe. And the other thing is that you get better at sex and that kind of intimate interactions by practicing.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you know, and any woman that's ever been with a guy who they think is just a dynamite lover, it's because he's been with a lot of people. Yep. You just don't get that.
And
without
or so I should say this though, because he did say, you know, he wants help with this problem. I guess he's having too much casual sex. So maybe on some moral level, he doesn't feel like he wants to be that guy anymore. And that's fine. You can also be that guy if it's a decision.
But then
so
it's a matter of just making a decision not to. Just don't. You know, it's like that old joke that says, "Doctor, my elbow hurts when I move my arm like that." Well, stop moving your arm like that. I mean, part of being a real ass dude is because you make decisions, you give your word, and you stick to your word.
Yeah.
And that's just that's what it means to be a real ass dude. And it's not a situation where you can't. We all fall off. We all make mistakes.
What would you do, Dante, if you wanted to stop fucking? If you said, "I'm going to go abstinent for 6 months," what would be?
Let's try 3 days.
So I'm telling you, I'm the same way, man. Yeah. I have my libido's through the roof. What I would do is if I were you, Lil Ray, put on like 70, 80 pounds. Stop showering. Hold on, I got this.
Okay.
Stop showering. Okay, stop taking care of yourself. Start to feel very disgusting and start to not feel confident in yourself. You're not going to want to fuck. You're going to want to eat and play video games. That's sort of the path. That's where this Harrington. I'm literally describing Mike Harrington. Harrington doesn't want to fuck. He hasn't seen his dick in 3 years.
Years. But here's the thing. His self is the fact that he knows that he can get laid. He's doing this on purpose. So he'll still have the same swag that he would have anyway. And a woman doesn't necessarily give a fuck about what you look like if you have. It's the swag.
Well, for me, I'm going for myself. When I gain weight, my libido goes down. Yeah. When I'm not feeling as confident. When I'm feeling good right now, doggy. I'm back in the gym. I'm doing cardio. I'm lifting weights. I'm fucking doing everything I can do to get back in shape right now. And just in a week, I feel like a beast. If I'm fucking now, like I feel like I'm like, I look in the mirror while I do it. I fucking cry. Shit's hot.
Yeah, but the difference is when you got out of shape because of some other stuff that was going on, a lack of confidence in the first place. Mm. When you're objectively making a point, there's a difference.
That's true. Yeah. 573 Gas Line, are you having trouble with your bitch? We have Dante Nero, Mike Feeney in studio. Dante, an expert on bitches. Mike Feeney, a bitch. We can...
Oh my God, that's so funny. Fucking black.
By the way, that was the most... bitch response you could have had to that. Sarcastic. Oh, it's so funny.
What was I supposed? What would be a good response to that? To
shut up,
that?
Spick.
Yeah, exactly.
573. Plant your feet in the floor, faggot.
Yeah. I plan on being on television again someday.
Zach's the designated insulter.
I like that.
Can you take this for me?
I don't want to take your role, man.
573 Gas Line. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Are you having trouble with your bitch?
Lewis.
What up, kid?
Yo, were you aware that Lil Ray was doing dudes and not chicks?
No way. Impossible. Is that true?
I assume Lil Ray was a large black gay man.
Well, he also said the people that I'm having sex with.
Yeah.
He didn't say women. That is true. I didn't realize that. Do you think that's true?
It's a big difference, right?
But do you think that's true?
No, it's not a difference. It's not a difference.
Do you think Lil Ray's gay? All right.
Did you tell him?
No.
They gone?
He's gone.
Yeah.
It is possible Lil Ray was a gay black.
I gotta say, going to the phones has been...
Being a real ass dude is making a decision and sticking to your decision. That's what it's about, right? It's being that dude. Shady and fickle about what you say. And if you make a declaration about what it is you want, then you have to do everything to pursue that.
It's a declaration.
Yeah.
It's a declaration. If you make a declaration... That you want to stop getting pussy.
Or stop fucking dudes
Or stop fucking dudes, you know? That's interesting. Interesting if Lil Ray's gay, because I don't really have advice for a gay guy. How do you stop?
It's the same thing.
It's harder for a gay guy to stop fucking, though, because there's so much butt available at all times. If I was like, it's very easy. If I want to stop fucking, I could probably do it because it's not like pussy is being thrown at me nonstop. Gay guys, I assume that anytime they see another gay guy, they make that little eye thing we were talking about, and then
like dogs in the park.
Yeah,
you sniff each other's ass.
Wild.
An hour later, they're
Mike. You got a girl?
Oh no.
Yeah.
Married.
All right. So, do you find women just throw, you know, women hit on you all the time. Yes,
significantly more now that I'm married.
Of course.
Okay, so what I'm saying is it's not it, the frequency of the point of this is the frequency. The availability is not the point. The point is being a man, making a decision, and sticking to the decision you set, and that's what you should do. And you do that, you make the decision, and you act accordingly because you make this declaration. And then when you fall off, you get back up and you stop again. I mean, there's nothing to it other than being a man and having the credibility of what you
your word
declare. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you, but the reality is also being a realist, dude. You could fall off. That's and you can
being a human being. You
have to
fall off.
You have to look in the mirror and go, "Hey, I fucked up. Yeah. My dick is in a man's butt right now.
Right.
Time to get back on the horse."
Well, okay. He's kind of on the horse.
Wipe the shit off your dick.
Yeah, wipe the shit off your dick. Get back
on, man. Get back on that horse, okay? 573 Gaslight. Are you having trouble with your bitch or dude's ass, apparently? I don't know. We have Dante Nero here. We have Mike Feeney here. You're on the Real Ass Podcast. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And what's your problem with your bitch?
So I guess my name is Eric, and I'm calling from Austin, Texas. I had a question. It's not really about, well, I guess maybe it is about bitches, not necessarily women per se. So I know you guys are all comics, and I'm sure you have to deal with people that are not, you don't like what they do. You know, like you don't like what they do. Maybe they're nice people and they're trying to get on shows with you and stuff, but like, how do you handle people? Like, do you have any tips for like letting people down easily or like not engaging with people that you don't like what they do, but You kind of get what I'm saying?
You mean in terms of performance?
Yeah, like in terms of shows. Like,
yeah, but what, are you a comic? Or why are you asking that?
I'm a musician. Okay. I'm a musician. I'm in a band. And, I find that, like, I got people that are hitting me up and they want to do shows. And, you know, a lot of times, like, I know them and they're nice enough people and stuff, but I don't like their band. I don't feel comfortable asking them to come. You know, I don't feel comfortable asking, like, people to come out to see them, you know, and that kind of thing.
Well, you know, here's what I do, okay? Because I get this a lot. People are like, oh, can I do Legion of Skanks? So what I did is I created a smaller show, and then I bring those comedians on this show. So that's it. You need to filter them into a show with less talent.
Or you can just say, I don't think you're a good fit.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you can just say
which is a lot easier than creating a whole production for a show.
That is true.
Because you're too much of a bitch to tell them they don't have a good fit.
You know what? This show's over. We're no longer, we don't need the show anymore. I just realized Dante's right.
Yeah.
Closing up the farm team, guys. Developmental's gone out of business.
No, I think that you need to. I mean, look, are you trying to be a producer? Is that what you're trying to do for a living in life?
Owns a band only.
We've lost him.
Shit,
he died.
I think he brings bands in.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to legitimately be a producer, I think a good producer can tell people you don't want to work with them in a way that makes sense. Anybody in this business who's worth anything understands that rejection and not being able to make things always work is just a natural progression in this business, okay? And you can't take it personally. I've been in this business a pretty long time at this point, and I have people that I consider friends that work on television shows, that are at the helm of networks, that I can't take it personally that they're not coming to me every time with these things, because it's the reality is everybody's got a job to do, and that person's job isn't to do me favors.
Right.
Favors don't exist, right? Mm. You have to, I mean, they do exist, but to be honest with you, that's not why anybody's being paid. Nobody's being paid to do somebody favors.
Right.
So I think that you have to, if you're making a decision to be a producer, you need to be able to say to somebody, hey, we can't make this work right now for this reason or another. You still want to maintain a good relationship, so you don't want to be a dick to people.
I don't think you have to be a dick to say, no. I don't think this isn't the right fit right now.
Always word it better. Like, I don't know if our audience is mesh.
I don't even think you got it. Like, here's the thing. Being honest about it, I've always, and as comics, we all know that. If you go to try to get in a club and the guy's lying to you, yeah, I'm going to work you and I'm working. After a while, you hate the guy because there's an incongruency between what he says and what he does.
Right.
Where if he says, listen, you're a funny dude. I just don't think you're a good fit. There's nothing you could.
It's so much better to just hear the truth than someone string you. I'd much rather get a no than a seven maybes.
And that's real ass dude shit.
And it just depends on here's the problem. What's cool about this business is there's a standard, in my opinion, where somebody that doesn't understand that, they're probably not going to make it. They're not really going to get anywhere. So the reality is it sort of fixed itself in the sense that they'll get it. If they're worth their weight, they're going to go, oh yeah, I know, because I've dealt with this in multiple situations. situations right. in my life, and I understand that there's this is a game of yeses and nos. Everything is
more
gonna,
and more nos. Than,
way more nos. Yeah. Way more nos.
So if you ain't got the stomach for that, you're in the wrong.
You're
business.
Never gonna make it. Right. So that person, if the person is getting mad at you because you're not giving them an opportunity for whatever reason, and they don't just move on and go, cool, thank you, and then move to the next thing, yeah. and maybe they say fuck you in their head behind closed doors to their buddy or whatever it is, that person's not even worth working with to begin with. Okay, and you can sort of watch how people deal with rejection. That's actually a good sign. When I was related to sales, but this is a good sign of a good salesman. Is watching how somebody deals with a no, the no. and yeah. how they try to turn it into a yes and how they recognize like, hey, you know what? Maybe it's a no right now. But the way that I deal with this no, mm-hmm. it could be a yes 6 months from now, a year from now, whatever it is. You build those relationships. You know, every time I've tried to sell multiple TV shows. I haven't sold many TV shows in my life, but every time I don't sell a TV show.
You when put an
I,
M in front of that word.
When I leave, from whatever it is, whatever network, whatever agent, whatever it is that I'm dealing with, I make sure when I walk out of that situation, they go, that guy's a fucking pro. That guy, at the very least, I wish we yeah. could have made this work because he's a fucking pro. Right now, we didn't have the budget. My boss said no to it, whatever it whatever. Is. And that's
even
what it
I
is.
I might have been into it and I couldn't get it across the threshold.
Exactly. And you have to accept it. And so for me, I'm going like, cool. It's another no. It's getting me closer to a yes. Sure. Also, that relationship in itself, how I'm dealing with that no shows the type of mind that I have yeah. and it shows the type of and it shows how I value that
character.
Relationship exactly and it's a big deal in this industry.
And the other thing is that if you handle that no properly and you push forward, you create a relationship. I mean, when I go do auditions, whatever the part is, I dress for the part. I'm trying to remove all the obstacles away. I mean, I'm always just coming in as myself, yeah. but I mean for the most part, I'm trying to remove the obstacles.
Professor Nero,
yeah, bouncer with a button-down shirt.
Dante Pierce, he's apparently
tuxedo with no sleeves.
Yeah, right?
He's apparently auditioning to play a crocodile. Okay,
I actually auditioned for a monster.
I believe it. She's wearing a big fur coat, like, crocodile shoes.
Yeah, go do this.
So how many Mowglis did they match you up with?
You know what's funny? When I did Blacklist, it was a Polynesian dude that was the play. I played a Polynesian dude. I never play a black dude. That's my goal. And I walked into the audition and it was just nothing but dudes with Hawaiian shirts and long hair and fucking puka shells and shit. And but you know, the problem with auditioning when you're a big dude is big dudes can't read copy. They just don't read copy well, so it's just very awkward. And the only reason why I got it was because I could read the copy because I'd been doing acting and I could read copy and all it. And I mean, it was dudes right off the island.
Yeah.
Came in with flip-flops and shit like that, and I got the part. But my point, the other thing is that if you come in and you take the no and you're professional, I had auditioned for Blue Bloods, got passed on Blue Bloods, and the dude called me back for Limitless yep. just because you have the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You
know? And I didn't even audition for it. He just...
That's part of the business as well. I learned that from an acting coach, which is winning the room, like getting everyone in that room to go, I like this guy. Yeah. This isn't the right part for him, right? Because he doesn't have, we want him to be 2 inches taller. As soon as you walk in, they're going like...
Know.
They know in 10 seconds.
Exactly. Yeah. They're like, this is the guy, this is not the guy.
And they don't know... Until they see you too, yeah. like they have an idea.
They have no idea, but then
when
they see it. You build these relationships, and they go, "This guy's a pro. They like you, and they want to work with you." That's a very important part of any industry.
Yeah,
entertainment. If you work in a bank, if you work at a school, if you're a doctor, if the people that are above you like you,
mm-hmm.
simple that like you.
Yeah,
they're rooting for you, you're going to go very, very far.
It's not
so the decision
about
makers, no, it's not about talent.
Very
at all.
Rarely.
You have to be able
talent.
To do the job. You got to be able to knock the fucking ball in the pocket.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if they like you, if you miss the ball a few times, it doesn't even matter.
Nobody wants to work with somebody, you know, when you're doing something 16 hours on set with a guy who you don't like. It's mm-hmm. it's funny because this was the, you know, Patrice had the, was supposed to be the father in Everybody Loves Chris.
Yeah. And nobody liked him on set.
And nobody liked him, and so they gave it to Terry Crews.
Yep.
And
because Patrice didn't give fuck, and he would just trash people just fucking be cunty to people, which is why it's why as comedians we love him because it's fearless, and you go, he doesn't give a fuck. Right. You want that romantic story
until, but until he got his own show and he had to audition people. I remember him coming to me and saying to me, "Yeah, you know what? I just realized, you know, it's hard working with somebody who's hard to work with." I go, "Oh, really? That's your revelation?"
Well, Bisping, this is actually a great point because Bisping told me this, right? People are always like, you know, if once you're a UFC champion, why don't you just bring in the best wrestling coach, the best jiu-jitsu guy. You could just pick the best. Yeah, pick the best training partners in the world, best sparring partners in the world.
Meld.
You have to like them.
Yeah.
You're on the road with them. You're in a hotel room with them.
The
it's like, and Bisping said it best. He said, like, I would rather work with somebody that's less talented that I can stand being around because I'm going to want to come in more. Yeah. And it's sort of, I look at that and that's sort of a microcosm of how life works.
Right.
Doesn't matter how talented you are. Yes, you have to be good. You have to be able to execute your job. But if the people like you and they're rooting for you, those opportunities are going to open up for you. And people that go like, oh, why does that guy get that? He's not that good. I'm telling you right now, when these people walk into a room with industry, with people that matter, that people are making decisions.
If they like you.
They're owning the room.
Yeah.
They're making those people root for them. And I watch, you watch comedians go out and they're like, why is that guy was drinking with industry people? It's like, yeah, motherfucker, he's working right now.
Yeah.
He's taking shots with the guy from fucking NBC.
Yeah.
He's hanging out with Fallon. He's, you know, these guys are working and they're working.
Just say my name, Lewis. We all know who we're talking
about. We gotta go. We gotta go. I love you guys for listening. I gotta run out of here. I know Tommy Dreamer is coming in next. Live Tommy Dreamer show. Love Tommy Dreamer, ECW legend here on the Gas Digital Network. Make sure you check out all the other shows. Follow everyone on social media at Dante Nero, at I Am Mike Feeney, at Zach Is Not Funny, at the Chen _ at I Am Shannon Lee, I Am Letters, and at Lewis J. Gomez. We'll be back on Monday. Do we have guests?
I don't remember. We do have guests, though.
Special bonfire show next week.
I'm very excited.
All right.
Thanks for having me, bro.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, bro.
Love.
That's all, folks.